there, folks. I'm Emily.
And I'm Elt.
And have you ever hurt your own finger with your own fingernail? Because some of us are really talented and can do that. And it hurts.
Emily's trying to convince me that this is something that only she can do and that there's few people who can do this. And I tried to explain to her that this is a common situation.
Well, you have to have the right fingernail and finger length. I mean, it's a very scientific thing.
She's really desperate to increase her skill set, so she's trying to include this in it.
Well, I don't know what else I'm supposed to list on my special skills part of my resume. I can make really cool cymbal sounds, and I'm Sutton Foster's biggest fan. I mean, what else?
Yeah, that's kind of it.
No.
Oh, no, I'm sure we'll find something. I mean, that's what I meant to say. No, there's so many other things is what that's it. That's what I want to say.
Well, what I want to say is that it doesn't matter so much what you do, but who you are inside. And that is my segue. Thank you.
It's actually a backwards segue because it does matter what you do. And that should be a reflection of who you are, should be shown in what you do.
Oh, that's true.
Well, whatever. It's still a good segue.
Okay, I'm not adding segues to my special skills either.
We almost had it. Almost had it.
Next time. Today we are talking about Shane, the book, and the movie. It's a Western. The book is by Jack Schaefer. It was written in 1949, and then the movie came out in 1953. It stars Alan Ladd, Gene Arthur, and Van Heflin. I haven't heard of any of those people, but what? Maybe they were really big Western.
Yeah. No, Gene Arthur, you see a lot of stuff. Yeah. Emily, stop watching Cinderella and you'll see other films and Snow White and Disney. Just Disney.
Stop watching Disney?
Yeah. Oh man, you should see her face right now. The sentence is not computing in her brain. She does. Stop. Also, the words have lost meaning to her. They mean nothing to her. Stop and watch a Disney doesn't fit in a sentence for her.
I don't think actually those words can be in that order in a sentence.
Okay. Emily, sometimes there are other things to watch that are not Disney. Does that work better?
Yes.
Okay. That's what Pixar. I wanted to say.
And apparently there's Shane. And Shane, the synopsis is there's the Starrett family's life is forever changed when a man named Shane rides out of the great glowing west and up to their farm. It's set in 1889. Young Bob Starrett, he's the narrator, is entranced by the stoic stranger who brings a new energy to his family. Though Shane is dangerous, he is devotedly loyal to the Starretts and is the safest to have around when real danger comes knocking. This is like the Western of Westerns. It's so Western-y. But it's also just a good story. So even though it's so Western because there are gunfights and they're on a farm and people are riding horses, you don't actually have to enjoy Westerns to enjoy this story because it talks about people and it's a story about other things. We gave it a 2 for the violence, a 0 for the language, and a 0.5 for the romance. And those ratings are across both the book and the film. They're pretty similar.
But oh, by the way, side note, if you want to hear more about this, you'll have to go back a couple bonus episodes ago, which is like many bonus episodes ago, when I spoke to the English teacher, Naomi Grossman. She teaches Shane to her middle school students. And so she has a lot more to say about this. But it's kind of... it's a short book. It's an easy read. It's one of those books that you kind of get it and don't get it at the same time because you know it goes deeper than what's written, even though it's written pretty straightforward. Like, it's not some like great literary thing that you have to like translate all the words. Obviously, some of the words are not words that we use today, but not because they're long Not because they're long, complex words, just because we don't speak like that.
Right.
Because language
It's sort of written like they live.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Honest and to the point, and it's true. And there's no nonsense about it. It's just this is life. And sometimes it's hard and sometimes it's rough, but here's what it is.
Yeah. There's also, it's also one of those books that you don't, like, you know that you're getting and not getting at the same time because there are scenes that occur that you know this is a significant moment, but am I really getting what I'm supposed to get out of it? There's a lot of talk about, like, the certain kind of men that they are and the way that they look at each other, and somehow they both understand each other. And you're like, what just, nothing just happened, but it did happen at the same time.
Yeah.
There's a lot of moments like that. But I gotta say, my favorite part of Shane, well, besides for that, I felt like it was a really good, solid read, and they don't really write books like that anymore so much. Where certain ideals are being presented that now they can't be presented with so much other stuff coloring it. But in the film, and I think I mentioned, I don't know if I mentioned this before in a different podcast episode, so you'll have to go and listen to all the episodes and see if I'm repeating myself. So, but after this one's done. In the film, so there's something about like these older films that a lot of the dialogue or a lot of moments end up being very on the nose, which is just part of the way the writing was then. But there's this moment where the son, who's totally enamored with Shane, says something to the mom, Shane, about, oh, I love Shane. And the mom's like, yeah, kind of like I love him too sort of thing. And Shane is just coming to the house then and he overhears this conversation. And then he immediately turns around and he leaves. And the mom kind of, I don't know if she realizes that he was listening, but she kind of like sees him leave. And she turns to her husband and she says to the husband, like, oh, just hold me. And he's like, what? Just hold me. And you see her kind of, basically, the emotion that she's feeling towards Shane is kind of, she's trying to like rechannel to her husband. Or she's asking to be held, not because she wants to be held. She really wants Shane to hold her because that's how she's starting to feel toward him now. But if this was a modern film, Shane and the mom would have slept together at some point.
100%.
That line would have been crossed because they love each other, so they have to sleep together.
Or there would have been some sort of kiss. I was nervous that was going to happen.
Yeah. And it doesn't happen. And then it didn't. And it's Shane realizes, oh man, like you can see he really respects the mom and the way he speaks about the mom. But when he realizes that the emotions on both on his side and on her side are getting too much, he realizes that it's time to move on because I would not break up this family. I would not jeopardize this family. And everything that I respect about the husband, all the, you know, all the things that are being respected about me would fall apart if I would actually cross that line. This family that I have so much respect for, it wouldn't be there if I would allow that to happen. And that is an incredible, it's such an incredible moment. And it's something I just remember so much. First of all, because it's very subtle. It's subtle in the sense that she says, hold me. And she doesn't really want him. And she wants Shane, not the husband. But how come we're not writing stories like this anymore? This is the kind of stuff they should be showing about men making the right decision. Men and women making the right decision. That she's married and she has a family. And it's not even like, oh, mother always, you know, would look at the window and sigh about Shane. It's not even like that anymore. He leaves and they're always going to remember Shane, but she returns. This is her life. And not in negative. She has no problem with the guy she's married to. And she loves her son and she loves her family. Shane came in and like, yes, they have this moment, but that was the moment. And now the moment's, we got to let the moment go.
You have
go
moments, you
the
have feelings, but
And
just, what do you do with those moments and feelings?
Yeah. You got to. That's also part, like, we don't see characters like that anymore. We don't see them making the right decision like this anymore. And it's not because it's an easy decision, but because it's a necessary decision. That this is the way it's supposed to be.
Good way of explaining that. So that's where we get the romance. That's why it's a zero. That's why it's half a rating. Because there's a suggestion of feelings of romance, but nothing happens.
Yeah.
The language is a zero, at least in the book. I think the movie also, the movie is from so long ago that there's no official rating, but all of the people who have commented on it said it's pretty clean. The only thing about it is the violence. So we gave it a 2 because there are gunfights and fist fights in a saloon because it's a Western. There have to be fist fights in a saloon. But that's why it's a 2 because it's there, but also, how could you not have a Western without some of those things?
Yeah.
So it's not gratuitous. It's just, that's what you're signing up for.
Yeah. And you almost have to shift your brain before you start reading it because you have to realize this book is about, it's not just about a totally different time of like, oh, the Wild West. It's just different. It's just so different from what we've grown used to and for what we're seeing now. It's just, you really have to just prepare yourself for like, okay, we're going to go back to a different kind of time and where people act in a different kind of way, not just taking the law into their own hands and beating each other up over, you know, someone assaults somebody's wife.
But having...
Well, it should still mean they should beat someone up if they insult your wife, men.
Yes. Thank you very much.
Yeah, wow. Where are we going with that? Like exactly.
This honor and inner strength. Because Shane is... Okay, so here's a question for you. Is Shane a hero or an anti-hero?
Right.
And you don't have to have an answer, but I've been ruminating and I don't have an answer.
Or like the reluctant hero more. I think it's more the reluctant hero. Especially because the way that the son idolizes him so much. Bob really idolizes him. But Shane is also supposed to represent a lot of ideals. So in a way, it's like almost impossible, even though we know he's not kind of perfect. And he always talks about there's like a, I don't know if the right word is, there's like a sadness, there's a heaviness in Shane that he tries to, he's trying to find peace, but we know he's going to be like the wanderer. So he's not exactly, that's not exactly the kind of person you're supposed to be. You are supposed to settle down and work the land and, you know, have the family and all that stuff. So Shane, there's something about Shane, that he's kind of nomadic. And it's a loneliness about him. So
yeah, there's that.
Yeah.
Sorry.
But no, but it's certain ideals that a certain kind of, when justice, you have to fall through on the justice or the honor or, you know, the way you're supposed to treat a family, and that we're not going to abide by this. There's very specific lines that are drawn and we don't cross these lines. Yeah. So when we cross these lines, you got to stand up against them. Right. It doesn't, there's no deep, like ethical things. It's like, this is the way, this is what a man is. And it's, yeah, I think he's more of like a reluctant hero. Like, he doesn't want to have to go and fight the guys. He tries to avoid it, but he realizes that he can't avoid it. And because in that moment when he can't avoid it, that's also the highlighting and the final, as you say, nail in the coffin of knowing I have to move on. Because I'm trying to show Bob, like, you know, kind of like being, how to be an honorable man without having to resort to these sort of things, right? There's always a suggestion that he's a great gunslinger and what he can do with a gun, but Shane has a reluctance to, he doesn't carry around his gun. He's not trying to show off his gun. So he realizes that in the moment that he's going to have to go take care of these guys, what he's going to have to do to them, he's going to have crossed the line, even though they crossed the line first. So he has to stand up to them, but now he crosses the line. So he doesn't want that to be, he doesn't want to stick around Bob anymore for him to say like, wow, you're such a great person for the way you like pummel these guys.
Right.
He doesn't want that. He doesn't want Bob to see that. So he's very idealized and he holds all these, which I guess also is part of why he has to be lonely and nomadic, because it's not really a realistic kind of person, even though it's more of like a, he reaches kind of levels that we want people to be like. Yeah.
That's interesting, because he, at the end, one of the things, he makes it clear that, yes, he is this great gunslinger and he knows how to fight people, but he doesn't exactly say it straight out, but it's something along the lines of, like, killing someone is no small thing, and it's something you can't come back from.
Yeah.
So he's like, yes, I have killed people, but this is the reason why you need your own father and your mother, and not, like, I shouldn't really be a role model for you.
Yeah.
Because even if you kill someone when it's necessary, you've still taken a life, and that is a line that you do not want to cross if you don't have to. Once you cross it, there's no going back. And I really like that, because in Westerns, people are shooting left, right, and center, and in all sorts of movies and books, you know, like in superhero movies or whatever, people are dying all over the place. And like, he feels the weight of these lives, even though he is a righteous and virtuous person and he's only ever taken a life, at least it's hinted at, in when it's been necessary, he's still taken a life.
He doesn't want to be glorified. He doesn't want there to be any romantic vision of what it is to be, to use the gun, basically.
Yes.
Yeah.
I did like also that the book was written from the perspective of a child. I thought that was interesting for a Western.
Yes, and unusual. Yeah. Yeah.
And maybe it's part of the reason why you can't get everything out of it on the first or second. Like, you probably have to read it at different ages because Bob doesn't even understand everything.
That's true. He's
whatever age he is. So he doesn't get everything that's going on. So the way he explains it, like, you probably have to read between the lines and read it at different ages. And I'm sure, like, if we read this again in 10 years, then 10 years after that, we'll understand it in such a different way than we do now.
Yeah, probably. Because it's also, Bob knows that there's significance. He knows, like, when they're going to, the dad and Shane are going to chop out the tree trunk, he knows a moment is happening, but he doesn't necessarily have words for it. And the author doesn't give us the words for it. He just tells us. So we also have the sense, like, yes, something significant is happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, it's good. The book has the right sort of morals and values, and it makes you think. So it's hitting all the high notes.
We definitely recommend it. And I don't really know what age it's meant for, but I think you could have a 12 to 14, right? Young teen.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. Middle grade can read it. For sure.
Yeah.
Good job.
I mean, there's really not much more to say. Sometimes we often find this. We have so much more to say about things we don't like than things we do like.
That could be true too. Yes. That's fine. There's so many other things to take care of today.
That's true. Like what?
Okay. There's a massive list that Emily has been ignoring. She's pretending like it doesn't exist. And there's a massive list of stuff that has to be done around the bunker. She just doesn't want to have to deal with any of it. She hates working with the sandbags. She hates dealing with all the double, triple, fortified glass. She's
pretending. It takes so much Windex.
You got to do what you got to do in our bunker world.
Fine. Okay, well, I guess I'll make sure the barbed wire's turned on, and you can sew up any holes in the sandbags.
Yeah, and maybe we'll find a skill set for you somewhere along the way.
Oh yeah,
I knew that would get you interested.
Okay, I'm gonna figure it out because I think actually I could be really good at something like kung fu. Or crocheting.
Okay. See,
definitely one of those two.
She does this, that'll excuse her from chores because then she's just going to be too annoying doing the chores.
I could cook. Maybe I can make really good sauce. I'm not sure.
Okay. I'm going to go just take care of stuff that actually has to be done while she, I don't know what Emily's going to do.
Swallow swords?
See, exactly. All right, everyone. Thanks for listening.
Light bulbs.
Catch you later. Cheers, cheers. Oh My Word podcast is brought to you by the Pearl Clutching Basement Dwellers at Oh My Word. Follow us on Instagram for updates at Oh My Word Podcast, or like and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. For full episode notes and detail, visit eltenenbaum.com. Music is by Tim Burke. Sound is by Gabriel Yaffe. See you next time.